Welcome to Call with Dads. Let's talk.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's dive in. I think overall this topic just, you know, it's suiting because for some reason I've just been kind of thinking about the past year and all this. And
I mean, it is a new year.
It really is. But
good thing to reflect at the end of the year.
You know, it's thinking about, like, Tom just had his kid. So
it's awesome. Congrats, yes, Tom.
Congrats. So he's not joining us like scheduled, but he has a reason. You can't really blame him there. And then, of course, it's just all the other things that we've been doing. Why is my chair was dropping on me? But just all the other things going on, like trying to get things set up for ourselves, getting things set up in our lives, personal work. I've been just killing myself over trying to get this promotion that spent 6 months, which kind of gets you sitting there going, well, when's it going to happen? You know?
Yeah.
But the one thing that also made me think about it was the last conversation that Tom and I had on the show. There was a comment we talked about how, and I said, when I was growing up, I grew up having, what do you call it? I had coffee with my stepdad, or was drinking something with my stepdad on the front porch growing up. And now, where I was growing up, almost everyone had a front porch. Or a patio or something where you sat out and somebody walks by, they wave, they came up, they talk to you, blah, blah, blah. Driving through my neighborhoods after dropping my daughter off, this and that, I'm seeing all these houses, nice houses. Very few of them had porches.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, is that because, and I heard a long time ago something about we moved everything to the back of our homes. We used to sit in the front and sit down and welcome people and talk to people. Now we have our porches and patios in the back so that we have our whole lives more private.
Yeah.
So
a little bit more private. Yeah. I mean, where I live, there's porches and patios. You know, nobody really sits on them, though.
Yeah.
And, well, where I live kind of stinks. Like, I honestly can't stand where I live. It's a nice place to go visit.
Right.
It's not a nice place to live. There's too much traffic. There's too many tourists. There's too much nonsense. It's not good for raising a child.
Right.
You know, my daughter has friends at school, but if we're going to go visit a friend, we have to drive across the town to the other side of town to visit somebody. You know, it's just how it is. It's just this area. I mean, everybody's so far spread out. There's no, like, neighborhoods. There's no communities.
We have neighborhoods and communities where I'm at. I'm right outside of DC, so we're in suburbs and all that, so it's not like a big spread out area. But there's, like, I see kids and people walking by and running by constantly.
Yeah, I mean, we have that, but the problem with where, like, the part of the town that I live in is it's, like, right near the beach. Like, it's you know, right near the beach, you know, like in the movie. It's literally down the street from the beach.
Okay.
So the problem is that all the houses where I live are very valuable.
Right.
So people that are just investors and stuff buy them. You know, no actual people and families and stuff. And then what they do is they turn them into an Airbnb. So more than half of the homes that are in the area that I live are Airbnbs. So all the people that you see walking up and down the streets, kids and stuff playing, they're gone in a day or two. You know what I mean? They don't stick around. And then the people that do live here they've been here for a while and they're like 70 years old or 60 years old.
So, yeah, and you have all the people kind of moving out. And
No, families don't live here where I live, and I want to live somewhere else, but the wife doesn't want to, so it's kind of like a
I've talked to my wife about us relocating, and you know, it's one of those things that if we relocate, we can save quite a bit of money.
Oh yeah, big time.
But it's also, as much as my wife likes to talk about how she has the whole the whole job going, she talks about wanting to be a homemaker, stay-at-home mom and all this. And I told her, if you want to do that, that's fine. We just need to move to a lower cost of living area. And as much as she talks about wanting that, I also know the fact is that she is so, she loves being part of a community and all this, that it's not going to happen. She loves it. And
she likes the area.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, it's great to go. It's great to go to, it's great to go back to like my mom's house out in the country and visit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we moved out there, it'd be fine. But in all the truth, you don't have the conveniences that you have here in the city. You know what I mean?
Right. See, I'm all about that. I'm like, I don't want the conveniences. I'm like cool with that. Like, good. I want to live out in the middle of the country on like 50 acres or something. That would be, to me, that would be fantastic.
Right.
But I know that that's not, we only have one kid, right?
Right.
If you're going to live in a place like that, you need like four or five. The reason being is because, I mean, your kid's got to have friends. You know what I mean? If you live out a place like that and one kid, where's their friend?
Well,
you know,
at least
the next friend is 3 miles, you know, in the another direction, or more than that, like 30 miles, you know.
You learn to ride a bike very quickly. Trust me, I know.
I mean, yeah, so it's, unless you have like, you know, four brothers and sisters, it's not good.
Right.
You know, and since her being one kid, I'm not going to deny her friendship with other friends and stuff, you know. And as though I teach her to be outside of society a little bit, so she doesn't follow society like crazy.
Right.
You know, she is her own person, and I want her to be that. I mean, I'm also not going to rip and strip her of actual connections with other human beings to go for my own benefit, you know, so I can go live out in the green.
Well, here's,
you know,
the,
I mean, in this case,
it comes down to
it.
Is like, if you live out there, like right now where I live, like I'm all about homeschooling my kids, right? And my wife and I have talked about when my son gets older or what's I have you to possibly put him into a private school, because homeschooling, as much as everyone sits there and goes, oh, well, it's just so cheap, it's this and that, not how we do it. I mean, so it would actually be cheaper to put my son into a private school than it is to homeschool, because he has like his nature class. He has co-op. Mm-hmm. He has like, we have to hire a nanny so that I can work full time and be able to manage things.
Right.
All this stuff adds up. And, you know, it's one of these things, looking back, I look back at the past to kind of evaluate where I'm going in the future. That's kind of my mindset of things. Right.
Yeah.
And it also helps me remember, like, say, the conversations we've had. We've spoken with quite a few people. We've had quite a few great conversations.
Yeah.
Pastor Ron, I get a lot of information off of him and different ways of thinking about stuff, because I'm far from being a saint by any means. Well, actually, if you want to be technical, the term saint is supposed to be, if you are a true follower of Jesus, you're considered a saint. Catholics, I guess, have made it to where you're only considered a saint if they deem you.
Didn't you?
So, but we're not going into religious conversations right now. But
I am not a saint.
In today's use of the term saint, we're definitely not saints. But the fact is, you look at all the stuff. I mean, like, tell me honestly, if you look back and you think about just this past year alone, we've had the election, we've had just all sorts of stuff happen just recently.
Yeah. Granted, not 2025, 2026, but
right.
I mean, we overthrew Maduro.
I was going to say, politically,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, politically, tons of things have happened.
Yeah,
we've had.
You know what's my favorite? I love watching on like X or one or Facebook or wherever these other things. You see all the like left wing liberals like, oh, do this, blah, 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 Maduro, and then you see all the people on the other side. They're like, I'm actually from Venezuela. He sucks. He's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are brainwashed morons. You're so dumb.
Well, see,
like, stupid.
We've talked about the whole brainwashing thing too before, and I mean, you look at it. So I guess look at it this way: is we have, in all truth, most people, like what is it, my neighbor, my mom, they're not in, like, they're not raising kids, so they don't get into the same world as me. Just like they pay attention to different topics that I have no idea about because they're not in my sphere of giving a shit.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And, you know, it's one of those things.
Same with my wife.
Yeah.
It's just like Pokemon and what do you call it? Those TV shows. I can't think of them.
Like
Survivor and shit.
Yeah.
Pokemon and like Survivor. I mean, that's like her, not necessarily Survivor, but like Big Brother and stuff like that.
Reality TV.
Yeah, reality TV. So, she likes that stuff. Yeah. That's her world. And I'm like.
But see, like when my neighbor and I talk, he'll tell me about all these different things that he dislikes about what the government's doing. And like I'm talking about how here in Virginia, for example, we just got a new governor. It's a Democrat. And she wants to throw the whole, like we just had, I forget his name, something Youngkin.
Yeah, Glenn Youngkin.
Glenn Youngkin, yeah. And he went in, got rid of the LGBTQ, blah, 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 stuff out of the schools. This new one wants to push it and make it even 10 times more. They're trying to fight homeschooling, which should be interesting because the headquarters for homeschooling is based here in Virginia.
Right.
And Virginia has a huge homeschooling community. We have.
Yeah. How did she get in office then?
Northern Virginia.
What happened to Glenn?
So Glenn won because Loudoun County just had, at the time, had that guy saying that he was a girl went in, and because he went into a girl's bathroom, raped and beat up a girl, and then found out that this boy did it at another school, and because the public schools was pushing the LGBTQ stuff at the time, they pushed the boy to another location, and then the father started raising hell. They had the father arrested for being upset and yelling at a school board meeting, saying that it's not right that boys can say, oh, I'm a girl, go in and do things to girls, and then say, oh, well, I'm LGB, you can't do anything to me. And that's what the schools were doing. And, you know, that's kind of something that's gotten me thinking a lot about what's coming, because if they're pushing that, I know even before we homeschooled, we looked at private school. Because again, it is more expensive if you do homeschooling, and if you're doing it and you're fully interactive and everything with it, because my son's supposed to be second grade level, the only thing he's doing at second grade is his writing and his math. Everything else is fourth and fifth. So you see, but to me, it's the whole fighting that whole issue of what I see that I have to be cautious of. My neighbor, great guy, get along fantastically. We don't really dig into politics too much with each other because he's on one side of the aisle. I'm definitely on the other, but it's not, a lot of it comes down to is we both see the same problem. We just have different viewpoints on how to solve the problem.
Right.
So we understand that we can talk about stuff. Like when I talk about kid stuff to deal with kids, he's like, oh yeah, that's horrible. And some of the things that he talks about on his side of it, I'm like, well, I understand what you're saying, but it's like, you just kind of sit there and think, what the hell?
Yeah. That's kind of why I'd stay out of the public schools completely.
Yeah.
And we got a good private school here. I mean, this school is deaf that she goes to is like a one of a kind. I mean, I don't see myself taking her out of it, and I'd stick to it all the way till the end, just because she's got such a good thing going with it.
Yeah.
And the good thing about Florida, though, is, I mean, it's pretty strong in the conservative people. So the conservative voters.
Yeah.
Which is good. So that kind of keeps that stuff out of our schools, although it did happen. There was plenty of places where a lot of the bigger cities, even here in a smaller town where I live, it was happening, and a lot of those books got put in our libraries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, parents freaked out, you know what right. I mean? And it got fixed, you know, but and then they found the couple of bad actors, you know what I mean, the couple of people that were like public workers, and they like would sneak them in and stuff like that. They found those people and they fired them, got rid of them. Yeah.
So, well, they should.
I mean, it's the whole the whole idea of like banning books and stuff. No, nobody's banning books. There's a difference between banning books and, you know, giving not so good books to, you know, children.
So
that's not okay.
And I agree with that.
You can still buy those books all day long.
Right. Here's
just
my thought.
Don't put them in a public library for children.
Don't put them in public library. Don't put them in schools. Yeah. I mean, I mean, here's the base, my basic theory on. If you cannot read the book in a school board meeting because it's too graphic, then it should not be there for kids.
I mean, it's just like the hiring world.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like in business. So when you build your LinkedIn profile.
Right.
And as an employer, if I'm looking on LinkedIn to find an employee and I see on their profile, she, they, the first thing I'm going to do is go, deny.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with the fact that I think you're trans or gay. And I'm like, I'm a bigot against those people.
You're just going to be difficult to work with.
It's, you're going to be a problem to work with. Not to mention, you know, your sexual preferences have nothing to do with this job.
But you're making it.
Right. Like, I can't stand people that put their Dallas Cowboys fans on their LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
We'll
see. That's
like,
that's what
has nothing to do with it.
Right. That's one thing I find interesting as well, is because you look at it like, I try to teach my kid a lot of things. And one of them is you have a professional world. So because he sits right here where I'm at right now when I'm homeschooling him. So him and I share this computer I'm on, right?
Yeah.
And I have my work computer over here and I sit and talk with him. And the one thing that always happens is as I'm in a conversation, I make sure he realizes how I'm talking, this and that. If somebody says, if it's a coworker and they're like, oh, how's the kid doing? I keep it general. I keep it brief. I keep it to the point and I move on.
Right.
So I make jokes.
I need to know basis.
Because here's the fact is like with work, and especially in like LinkedIn or your company life, you can joke about with your coworkers about the football teams and talk and if you have something.
Right. Yeah, but, once you're hired and stuff like that, once you personally get to know them a little bit, need to be professional,
but you're not going to be on a meeting with a client or with a customer or whatever you want to call them and be like, yes, part of my benefit is I love this. They're going to sit there and go,
it has nothing.
They're going to be like, well, good for you, but how well do you do your job?
I tell people this constantly, like, you know, I get a lot of veterans that I work with. And so when you're applying for a federal position as a federal employee for the VA or the federal government in any way as a, you know, civil service or whatever the case is, giving your DD-214 and your disability status, it's important because it's part of the federal hiring process. It gives you extra points on your scoring thing and all that stuff. I don't know so much if it does anymore. They may have removed it, but up until Trump came in, because Trump is more on merit, which I personally like. Merit over, you know, you're a veteran, oh, you're disabled, oh, you're this, oh, you're that, so you get built more preference. I don't think so. I don't care about any of the things. Whoever is the best for the job should get the job. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but when you're applying for federal jobs, those are things you have to kind of tell them to get better preference in the job to hopefully get selected. Now, when you're applying for the civilian world asks, they'll ask you whether you are or not.
Mm-hmm.
I tell everybody, just say no.
Prefer not to say.
Just say nothing. I prefer not to answer or just, you know, lie, say no, you know.
Right.
No, I'm not disabled. No, I'm not a veteran. None of those things. Just don't tell them.
Right.
Because it's none of their business. Number one, it's none of their business. It has nothing to do with the job. And number two, it's going to give them a bias every day of the week. So, like, on your resume, a lot of people will tell you, oh, put your LinkedIn profile on there. So, no, never. The only reason anybody should ever see your LinkedIn profile is if you're using LinkedIn to apply for a job.
Well, like me.
If it's outside of that, if you're like Indeed or on Google or going directly to their website, your resume should not have your LinkedIn profile, because the first thing they're going to do is look at your face and be like, ah, he's white. I can't stand white. Look at his beard. It's all weird. You know, immediate biased. You know, everybody has it.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
I mean, I'll be honest. Like, when I was, we just had to rehire a new nanny, right? Our last one, she was living with her landlord was a slumlord.
Like, she doesn't have C cups out.
No, I wasn't doing that. But in all truth, my son, being 7 years old, very active, very nature oriented, if you look like you'd be out of breath going a quarter of a mile chasing after a kid that's running through the woods,
work out, right?
Yeah, I mean, as I'm looking through pictures, I'm like, too fat, too fat, too fat. And it sounds bad, but you know,
it's true. Yeah,
it's like,
but it's true. That's why that's why that LGBT stuff, it's just it's not appropriate in schools,
right?
At all.
Do what
you know, it's irrelevant.
Right.
It's 100% irrelevant.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with school.
All right.
Do math, what you want to. Science, English, language, history.
Right. Well, like
physical fitness.
Always do whatever you want to do in your own bedroom is your choice.
Right.
Don't bring it out in public. Don't bring it to the kids. Don't push it to demand that I call you a cat or dog,
right,
or
right.
Don't be a guy with a beard and say my name is I'm a ma'am. I'm gonna look at him and go, sir.
Right.
Trust me, that's not.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and it's just kind of, I don't know. It's just interesting.
I mean, I think there's I think, you know, like we said, looking back on the last year, I think reflecting on the past year, it was like very prevalent. Like, it was happening a lot more and more and more. And over the last year, we've kind of watched a shift in the dynamic of parents, and even not parents, just people, just citizens in general. Like, I'm freaking tired of it.
Like,
I'm so sick of your bullshit. And there's still, you know, a good solid amount of people that are like, oh, LGBT. But there's it's now the majority, a large majority, not just a 51%. We're talking 80% of the population. I can guarantee you, if you were to do a poll of everyone, 80% of the population's like, I'm sick and tired of your shit.
Right. Well, what they'll do.
Get out.
When they poll.
Yeah, we don't want you.
When they poll people, you know, they poll like my area, which is mostly Democrats, because I'm in Northern Virginia, or they're going to pull people in, like, say, Washington, D.C., Silver Springs, Maryland, places where
polls are so fake.
Well, it's
like the best poll in the world is, you know, well, the best poll in the world used to be elections, and not so much anymore. They're all screwed up now, but.
Well,
the best poll in the world used to be elections.
I can tell you.
I mean, it's clear as day.
In all my years, I've been called once about what do you think, or who are you voting for, and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And
I've never been.
So
not once.
When I first moved here and I hadn't put everything, get everything out and all this, or like get all every, like my data and such for local Virginia, I was just registered because I didn't have to put which one I was registered as. So I got a call, and as soon as I said, you know, I'm a vote Republican. That was the last time I've ever been called.
Yeah.
So
it was the last time they ever called you.
Yep. Yeah. So
I'm pretty clear about my politics online.
yes, you are. So
yeah, I don't really care. Let me F everybody else. You know, if they don't like it, sorry about your luck. It's America, freedom of speech. You know.
Oh, I agree.
I'm allowed to do what I'm allowed to do. So, it is what it is. I don't go say inappropriate things, and I'm not rude or disrespectful.
Right.
I'm all about freedom across the board. If you want to be that way,
right. But
the line is at kids.
Oh,
that's
it.
There's the line. The line is, you want to know where the line is? The line's at children. Children.
Right. You know,
that's where you stop.
Here's the one thing that, like, the more and more we do this show, and the more and more I look at what's going on in the country and what's what have you, it's. Because we focus a lot in what's going on. And the one thing that it's very obvious is that people put up with a lot of things. People will deal with a lot, but it's like the fact comes down to is once you start messing with somebody's kid, once you start dealing with trying to bother, people's like, no, I'm done. And it's one of these things that you're seeing more and more families that are sitting there saying, no, I'm not putting up with
yeah.
any of these crazy people anymore.
Yeah.
There's like, what is it? There's people walking around even in Northern Ohio where I grew up, where you would sit there and think, okay, well, it's a very rural area, mostly rural. There's some smaller big yeah. cities like Toledo, Ohio, and things like that that has. But my mom tells me every so often she sees some kid wearing a furry outfit. And when their parents try to talk to them, they meow or bark. Or I'm like...
Like, that doesn't make you feel internally weird to wear that outfit?
Well, see,
like, you don't feel like a nerd or like a creep?
I think the big reason is their parents, and people can be upset with me all they want when I say this, but I think it comes down to the fact of between their parents not creating a good home environment, or the parent trying to push the topic because they're a leftist loon, and they're trying
brainwashing.
Yeah, they're
children are the perfect people to brainwash.
Exactly.
Easy.
Well, we discussed that with the what was it, 746 or
yeah.
That cult.
Right,
that,
yeah. I forget that, yeah.
Yeah.
The cult.
The cult thing, yeah, but...
It was the perfect people to brainwash. Super easy.
Yeah. And so here's what it comes down to is if you don't have a strong home life for your kid, like my kids know, even if I yell at them to get something done, as soon as it's done, like, what was it, last night, in fact, I gave my kids vegetable soup, right? My son just looked at it and goes, what is this? I said, it's vegetable soup. Oh, I don't like it. I'm like, well, tough. Eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, if you don't want to eat it, you don't get rewards. Remember, with every action comes with every decision comes a consequence, good or bad.
Right.
So I'm like, if you don't want to eat it, don't eat it. Just deal
with
it.
You need to learn to be thankful.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, look at it. You're going to go to people's houses. I said, as you get older, you're going to have friends say you're going to go to their house and spend time, maybe have dinner with them, things like that. If they put food in front of you and you say, oh, I only eat meat, which I'm like, okay, well, that's a good thing. But also, you have to eat vegetables as well. You have.
Yeah.
Now, if they're coming up and saying, here's a pre-made slop gel that I got from, then yes, if it's something disgusting, you're like, I don't eat chemicals.
You're slinging across the room. I'm not a vegan.
No, I'll admit I've eaten some vegan dishes that are bad. I will say that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's that whole thing of sometimes you're going to go to places and eat something. Now, if you know it's really bad for you to eat, then yes, avoid it. Say, hey,
it's respectful to just eat it and suck it up.
But if you know it's something like they're giving you, they spent time cooking and they're eating vegetable soup, or if they give you like a plate of carrots or whatever it is. You don't sit there and say, oh, no, no. And I told him, you need to be thankful.
Yeah.
Right now, he is living in a home, and I told him about a friend that I knew where, growing up, he didn't have, like, homemade meals, things like that. So when he came to my house, when my mom would cook, he would just eat everything up. And I remember my mom made liver and onion. And I hated that growing up. I haven't had it since I left my mom's house.
I've never eaten it.
You know,
thankfully.
I didn't like it growing up, but like he literally he never had it before, right? But he knew that people talked about how bad they didn't like it, this and that, right? My mom liked it, my stepdad liked it. I ate it. Right. It wasn't like horrible eating, but I wasn't a big fan of it, right?
Yeah.
But he sat there, started eating it, chowing down, got seconds. My stepdad looks at him and goes, man, you either are hungry. He goes, oh no, this is delicious. He goes, I don't see too many people loving liver and onions that much.
He goes,
oh, you're just messing with me. This isn't liver and onions. Finishes it, and my mom shows him the package afterwards. He goes, well, I'll be damned, that was good. And it's like, you sit there and think about it. Not everybody gets the benefits that we take for granted.
Right, for sure.
I mean, I've heard of kids eating cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know?
Yeah.
I've known of kids who all they do is order food because their parents are too busy going out and living their lives. And like you've said on a past show, you've lived a crazy life and then you had your kid. You got married and you had your kid. You put your crazy life on hold and you said, there is no reason you cannot put it on hold for 18 years or however long.
Yeah.
And then,
however long it is.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, if you don't grow as a person, if you're stuck in that mentality of, well, I need to live my life. It's my life. Yeah. I shouldn't have to suffer because my kid, because I had kids, I shouldn't have to be punished. You're not being punished. What
Shouldn't look at it as suffering. Yeah. It's a blessing. Children are as miserable as my daughter makes me all the time.
Well,
it is. I mean, it's still, I mean, it's still a blessing. I still look at it, you know, for one, you know, I do look at it in a biblical sense. You know, I've lived a life of sin, hedonism, you know, get what I want now, stuff like that.
Right.
You know, zero patience. Now I have to control myself. I have to control my mouth. No smoking. Restrict my drinking. Work on being physically fit so I'm not a disgusting slob. So she doesn't gain those factors. I have to, you know, I can't, like, I can't do bad things and go out and party all the time, you know. Look at it as, you know, my patience is consistently being tested. You know, my anger levels, my patience, everything. But you know what? I'm developing better patience over time. You know, and I look at it as, you know, in a biblical sense, God's making sure. He's not going to give me patience. He's not going to go, yeah, you're a patient man now. No, he's going to teach me to be patient by putting me through hell.
Right.
You know? And it is what it is. It sucks, you know, but I got to take it. Got to learn, be better through it, and I'll become patient. Right. And I look at it as, I mean, not only do I look at it as this is an amazing time of my life, you know, it's stressful, it's difficult, and it's hard. But I also, I mean, as much as I know it's hard and I get mad and angry and hate it sometimes, I still love it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like I've said before, man, my daughter can be so vicious and mean, and I could be so mad and just like to the point of pulling my hair out, like, and then one kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Done. All of it's gone. Instantly gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a feeling that you'll never get, you know? And that whole thing with living your life, it's all nonsense, you know. Live your life, and you know, you don't need, you know, what is it? What's the new one? There's Dinks. That, I forget what it stands for.
Wasn't Dinks like 2 years ago or something? It came out.
I don't know. I've seen them still around and stuff. Like, you know, how much of a loser, a self-centered sack of shit. I mean, if you're a dink and you're married to someone else that's a dink, you should go, I'm married to somebody that's so selfish and miserable that all they do is think about themselves. They're clearly not thinking about.
Well,
so,
you know what I mean? Here's where I come with that, with the whole dink.
It's like terrible.
If you don't want kids, find somebody that doesn't want kids. You know,
right.
So be it. That's your choice. And, you know, here's my theory is if you don't want kids to begin with, then don't have them. It's a simple fact. It's simple, straightforward. There's no question about it. Because now, don't get me wrong, I never wanted kids.
I was the same way.
But once I had my kid, my wife wanted kids. My wife wanted a kid. Okay.
Yeah.
And then she found out that having kids are addictive. So she wanted another. We had another. And now she's talking about a third. And I'm like, honey, I'm getting too old. My joints are starting to hurt. A third kid might kill me. So. Yeah.
That's what a lot of people don't realize, man. You know, there's the people that don't want to have kids at all, and then there's the people that want to wait until they're 30, 35. They're much older, and they've lived and got out everything, and they've soiled their royal oats and whatever else. I'm like, man, you don't realize. Like, my kid's just turned 7, and I'm 41.
Well, hold on.
Like, 7 years old, I should be, like, 28.
Right. Now, let me be honest about that with my opinion. Because here's where I stand with that is if I had a kid when I was in my 20s, I had anger issues. I was definitely not mature.
Oh yeah.
My mind was nowhere where I needed to be.
Yeah. Now, same here.
And the fact is my job, I was traveling around. I was doing all these things. You know, I don't think I would have done the homeschooling, but of course schools weren't as bad as they were.
Right. But think about it this way, you know, so for me, I don't know about you, but for me, having a kid, like, what took my life from upside down to right.
Well,
you know what I mean? So had you had a kid when you were younger, is it possible you could have straightened up and
It's a possibility.
It's a possibility, you know what I mean?
But I also look at it as when I was younger, like, I'll admit, it would have been great to have a kid, have my kids at a younger age. But I also look at the girls I was dating and spending time with when I was younger were not the type of girls. There was maybe two girls that I would have said, yeah, she would have made a good mom, you know?
Right.
Other than that.
This is why society overall needs to refocus its purposes and, you know, ideologies. You know, when we tell people that they should be going and looking for people to, like, get notches on their belt and get experience, all this stuff, you know, this is what happens. You know, ever since, we'll say from the 50s to now, right, the average age of somebody having a kid is, like, you know what I mean, where it was like 18, now it's like 35.
Right.
You know,
well,
it's
and
terrible.
In all truth, the whole thing about this is that, like, when I grew up, it was, I was probably one of the outliers of the people I grew up with. Most of them went and had kids and all this, right?
Right.
But I grew up with a kind of a get out there and explore kind of all this kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Now, the difference, so most of the people I went to, grew up with and went to school had kids in their 20s and things like that. They went to college, they met somebody, they settled down. They weren't looking for the adventure. They weren't looking for all these different things to do. It was, this is what I want to do. They met somebody, blah, 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 right? Where I went on a completely different path. You went on a completely different path. And the thing about that is what I see now is kids, well, it's changing now, but what I've seen in the past is kids were always told, you don't want to settle down and have kids, have a family right away. It's going to take away your, and all this.
Take away your life experience.
Right. I know that a lot of people that I went to school with that had kids are very happy. They love their kids. They love their grandkids that they're having now because, I mean, literally, I joked, the lady we just hired for a nanny, this is her first week, and she is as old as my high school diploma. And she's old enough to have kids herself. So, I mean, technically, I should be a grandfather at this point, right?
Right.
And the fact is...
I mean, my grandparents were grandparents to me at my age.
Exactly. And so was mine. So there's a big difference there. And, like, my mom literally started giving up hope to ever be a grandparent. it's that whole thing of... But we need, I think what it is I think Christian values and all this stuff is coming back into play now where people are with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, with Dennis Prager.
I think there's been tons of stuff that's been happening.
Yeah, I think a lot of things that's happened are setting people in motion to start gravitating. Yeah. Plus, younger men are getting to the point of they're tired of being told, it's your fault. You're the problem just because you're a guy. Because you're a male. Mm-hmm. You need to apologize for everything because you're a guy. And, you know.
And white. That's like the words like.
Oh, yeah. Male, white, you're the devil. Right. But.
I love when people bring up like reparations and white people shit. I'm like, should I pay reparations? They're like, oh, well, you're white. I was like, so I'm Italian, technically.
Right.
I'm a white person from born and raised in America, but I'm Italian. My family didn't even come to the United States until like
after
1890.
Yeah.
That time it was abolished. So
why should you?
I don't have anything to do with it, technically. So do I even, should I pay reparations? Oh, just because of my skin color? Now, wouldn't that be racist?
Exactly. But we're white, so it doesn't matter as far as those people are concerned. Logically, I mean, let's look at it this way. My ancestry has Irish in it, right? Well, technically the first, they changed the term from slaves to indentured servants in history book.
Yeah, they did.
Where Irish came here as slaves, but they said, oh, no, they weren't slaves. They were indentured servants. That's slaves.
That's what a slave is.
Yeah, that's a slave is somebody.
And they miss, the history books, you know, If you go back and you read older history books, like old ones,
yeah,
they tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, the truth that they tell, you know. So white people actually didn't get on a bunch of ships and go, we're going to go get those people over in Africa. No. And go and, you know, chase them down and catch them and bring them to America. That's not what happened.
No, they showed up to the docks, yeah, and the, yeah, tribe said, here, we'll sell you these people that we captured.
Right. Yeah. These are our prisoners.
Yeah. Take them.
We want them out of our community because they're miserable and they're terrible and they keep causing problems. We'll sell them to you. Yeah. You can just keep them.
And
that was part of it. The other part was, I mean, slave trade was up through like Jamaica and stuff.
Yep.
You know, that's how there's black people in Latin America. You, mm-hmm, know what I mean? So otherwise there wouldn't be black people in Jamaica. You know what I mean? It'd be Spanish people or Latin people from, you know, like ancient Mexico. Or what are those people like?
The Aztecs and the Mayans.
Yeah, the Aztecs and stuff. You know, because they ruled that area.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that would be those people, not black people. But black people are in that area because the slave trade was there. And you know why? Because African traders traded up that way and landed in America and said, hey, we got people. You know, these are our prisoners. We'll trade them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not like white people even went, and colonial Americans even went looking for them. They went looking for trade, and that's what they came across because, right, their own people traded them. Right. You know what I mean? So,
well, see, that's the thing is, parents anymore, people are letting other people teach their kids all this stuff. And mm-hmm, I think I mentioned a long time ago, I don't know if it's this past year or the year before, but there's a girl that my wife was talking with, and she's talking about, well, she doesn't need to teach her kids anything about the Bible because they go to church on Sunday morning, so whatever the church teaches them must be right. Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, you can't trust, mm-hmm, the churches really anymore because...
Right. You gotta pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, look at some of these churches. Some of the things they're saying is just asinine in the sense that...
Yeah.
So...
There's like a bunch of churches that are like... pro-LGBTQ, like, that's completely against the Bible. That's not okay.
Or you don't need to worry about your sin. Like, I've
right,
like, there's a church here locally that I, when we started looking for churches when we were trying to do that and such, we, mm-hmm, kind of gave up on the churches around here, but there was a church that literally said, well, your sins are not your worry. You shouldn't worry about your sins. You should live your life because if you believe that Jesus existed, not if you believe in Jesus, not if you believe Jesus died for you, but if you believe Jesus existed, then you will be able to go to heaven. I'm sitting here going, you need to.
That's not how it works.
You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to repent for your sins, and you need to try to improve your life. And
there are sins that are like irredeemable.
The seven deadly sins, I think they're called, or
something like that. Yeah, like murder is one of them.
Murder.
So killing is also, killing is not one of them.
Murder, not killing. Yes.
But murder.
Yes.
Murder is different than killing somebody. Killing somebody is completely okay.
Right.
And I'll tell you why, because murder is the murder and killing of somebody who's completely innocent. Killing somebody is when, like, say, hypothetically speaking, I'm walking out of Walmart and some dude comes and attacks me and my family. And
you kill
I
him.
Happen to have a sidearm and I
kill
whip
him.
My sidearm out and kill him to protect my family.
Yeah.
I didn't murder nobody. I didn't have any intentions of killing anybody at that time.
Right.
I just did it in...
Self-defense. You know, right.
Right, self-defense. I still need to go repent, you know, because I did kill somebody, but I wasn't in... sin. It wasn't one of the irredeemable sins.
Right.
It is still a sin to kill somebody, but it is not an irredeemable sin. Murder is irredeemable.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what I'm seeing is the truth of what really is, like the fact of what's in the book, the Bible, the facts of what reality is.
Adultery is one of them too.
Yeah.
Adultery is an irredeemable sin.
Yep.
If you commit adultery, and technically speaking, if you have had sex with anybody outside of marriage, adultery. If you've had sex with anybody who was married or used to be married, like if they were married, now they're divorced, technically still adultery. If you were married, got a divorce, and got remarried, technically adultery. So it's literally a one and done thing, according to the Bible, obviously.
Well, I have to look into that, to be honest with you. I know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm 100% guilty in that fact because.
You know, so am I. So, but I can honestly say I don't know all the facts about that.
Right. Yeah.
But generally, there's a lot of sins, and what I think.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have to look into it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm also saying I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
This is just what I've read. Yeah.
The problem is a lot of people don't sit there and say, oh, well, I need to look into it.
Right.
Like they sit there, like I saw there's a one-off video where somebody's trying to, like I've seen several of these one-off videos where like Ron Paul it was taking money from Moderna and all this. There's only one video I've ever seen about it. If it was true, it would be everywhere.
Right.
No,
it'd be all over the place. Yeah.
No proof is being shown. Nothing's being done. Now, here's the thing is that video probably got watched thousands of times, if not a million or whatever. And I can promise you people are out there now saying, because they watched that video, didn't research it, are saying they're going.
That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Ron Paul, he took money from Venezuela. I used to love Ron Paul. I haven't followed him for a while. I don't really know what he's doing lately, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, absolutely. Like the whole adultery thing, I mean, we don't really know, you know, because the Bible is very difficult to interpret.
Right.
Obviously, that's why there's like 300 different
versions
of Christianity.
You also have to look at when it was written, in what context it was written. Like it talks about not putting tattoos on your body, right?
Right, yeah, that's one.
But if you look at it...
Yeah, you read the context, there's different variations of it.
The context of when that was written was because there was a cult of Baal, or a religious of Baal, where they had to cut themselves, put themselves through pain. They had to tattoo themselves to try to get the gods' attention.
Right,
and
that's what the desecration meant.
Yeah, and with God, he's saying... Do not.
There is no other God.
Well,
don't desecrate your body for God.
Well, he's saying, you do not desecrate yourself to get my attention. You do not hurt yourself to get my attention. You do not tattoo yourself to get my attention. You pray to me. You worship me. You follow my laws, et cetera, et cetera. You stay with the covenant. And so that's where that came in. But for years, like when I first got tattoos, which most people don't know, I have tattoos unless they see it. Rarely see them because I keep them in places that are hidden.
Yeah, covered.
Yeah. But people would, like in the summertime, if I was at a beach or something, or I was working outside, people would see them. And I literally have people going, you're going to hell. I'm sitting there going, no, I haven't done anything today to make that happen. Maybe maybe yesterday. I did have a few drinks yesterday. That might be different. But the fact is you would have people spouting that off because they didn't read the context. They didn't look into what's going on. They just took somebody's opinion and ran with it because they liked what it said.
Right, for sure.
And that's a lot what people do now with almost every topic is very few people are. And I think that in the last year, maybe the last 2 years, the younger generation is kind of looking more into this, kind of finding their
way. One of my favorite ones that's like kind of taken out of context that a lot of people don't understand today because too much of society has been kind of brainwashed into it is the banning and burning of books. Like everybody thinks like, you know, I'm not a Nazi sympathizer or anything by no means, but I'm also a realist and look at history.
They don't tell you which books were being burned.
Right. They don't explain that in detail. Like they weren't banning and burning, history, knowledge. They were banning pornography.
Pornography. LGBT.
You know,
stuff.
Back in those days,
right.
Back in those days, the Jews actually were very involved in, usury, which is the bank stuff where they overcharge for banking and stuff like that.
Right.
And then they're very involved in hedonism and LGBTQ, all that stuff, all the transgender stuff and gay stuff. That was back then. And they were trying to convert kids. They were getting books to children and they were doing that stuff. And that's similar to what's happening today. the Germans back then had had enough and they had stopped, and that's why they were burning and banning books. And it wasn't books of, like I said, it wasn't books of knowledge, history, information. It was literal pornography.
Yeah. Inappropriate.
Inappropriate pornography.
Right.
Transgender pornography. So,
yeah.
And it's a common misconception. I love hearing about it because it's hilarious to think, like, wow, like all these years, people still believe that. They still believe that they were burning and banning opposition. Well, even politicians today still ride on that ideology. Like,
well, a lot of it comes down to is they're doing it because they're trying to get their message out. And the fact is most people grew up not looking back at history. So they hear, oh, they burnt books. And no one ever goes, well, what books did they burn?
Yeah, what books did they burn?
So
they were burning books because it was a different ideology. Well, no, it wasn't.
Well, it was, but the problem was is it wasn't. They were trying to purge out.
It was degeneracy.
The stuff that is bringing down society and things like that.
Right.
So, I mean, when a culture, I don't care what you say. Now, again, in today's society, if you want to read as an adult, whatever you want to read, if you want to read it, but keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't push it on other people. Don't push your ideologies on other people, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going out there going, hey, guess what I'm planning on doing to my wife tonight, you know?
Right. I'm going to tell you about it. It's none of your business, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To me, I would be thoroughly okay if they completely, like, I would be like, you know, if they completely banned pornography 100% across the board.
Right.
Yeah, but that's my personal opinion. You know, I know we have First Amendment rights and all that other stuff, and I get it. I'm all for First Amendment rights, and I support that.
Right.
But in a way that isn't First Amendment. You know, that's beyond it. That's perversion, degeneracy, and pornography. So
I agree, it's just terrible. But disagree in that because...
Right. It's hard. It's kind of like a gray line. It's kind of like...
You know, it's one of those things that as the First Amendment with that, and I use this because here's where I stand with that is you don't want the government deciding what's appropriate and what's not.
Right.
So
agreed.
Yeah, because 100%. You know, the moment the government starts deciding, the fact of there's countries out there that doesn't have the First Amendment right where the Bible has been completely banned. And you can be jailed for having the Bible in certain countries. So who's to say that just because I'm like, pornography, this degenerate material that's out there, I absolutely agree. Get rid of that stuff. But on the same note.
But it shouldn't. Yeah, same note, right.
The
government banning it is kind of like, it's pushing the limit.
So, yes.
Yeah.
And that's
what I said. I would be okay with it. I wouldn't complain. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, man, then we're pushing along the lines of, you know, overriding the First Amendment and, you know, the government telling us what to do and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's kind of like,
I mean, you know what I mean? I think the founding fathers, and I don't know exactly what they thought, but I have to imagine that they had to be thinking that there's going to be good things and bad things to come with these. They could only hope. Now, see, here's the thing is, if society turns around and starts saying, no, this is bad, this is disgusting, then what's going to happen is it's going to be pushed back into the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be moved away from the society. And if society starts fighting back against it, and that's what needs to happen. The government should stay out of it. Society, churches, communities should sit there and say, no, this is not acceptable. And even say, if you're doing this, just so you know, this is not acceptable. This is not normal, normal behavior.
That's why, for me, I know a lot of people have different opinions on this. This is my personal opinion.
Right.
When it comes to like hiring at companies or businesses or restaurants or stores or whatever, me personally, I think there should be no restriction. I think a company should be 100% free and capable to hire whoever and be able to also deny whoever for any reason.
Right.
Say, I simply don't like you. You know, you're a man. I don't like white males. White males aren't allowed to work here. If that's what they want to do,
so be
it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? so be it, because you know what's going to happen. If there's a restaurant or whatever in town that refuses to hire black people, you know, a majority of society, including myself, probably won't support them, because I mean, what kind of people are they?
Yeah.
You know, they're racist. They're terrible. That's not okay. You know,
right.
You shouldn't be hiring people based on their race and stuff. So,
but they should be free to do it and deal with the consequences.
They should be free to do it if they want to, because if they're going to make their own bed, they're gonna put themselves out of business, you know, and it'll happen. Right. You know, I truly believe society would kind of solve its own problems in that sense.
I believe so too, because here's the thing: is if you're forcing these things onto society and such, then you're trying to force an ideology.
Yeah.
Now
it almost causes the separation.
It does, because here's what comes down to it: is like, I remember when the EOEEC or something like
EEOC.
Yeah. When that first came out, I remember I was looking for a job, and this is back when people were still more open, would say things openly because they didn't know, hey, I'm not supposed to say this. I kid you not that there was jobs that I was highly qualified to do. They weren't really hard jobs, but I had the qualifications, I had everything else, and I would talk to the hiring manager and say, hey, I didn't hear back from him. Am I still running for this job? They'd be like, oh, no, with the new EEOC law, we had to hire somebody else because they had more points.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, well, what's at the time? I'm like, what's that mean? They go, oh, well, we had to meet our quota.
They explain it.
Yeah. And they told me with the new law, we had to hire somebody because we have too many white people.
Right.
Now,
basically.
The original purpose, from my understanding, is it was meant to stop people from saying, oh, you're black, we're not hiring you.
Right, right. In which that was a good
thing. It was a good
thing.
Idea.
It's similar to feminism's origins,
right.
You know what I mean? I truly believe feminism is terrible and disgusting and miserable as it is today. I truly believe it had a good origin and a good intent.
Right.
I just think it has gone, you know, it's like Tom said before, we overcorrected.
Well,
and
you know the old saying.
Take a step back.
The road to hell was paved in good intent.
Right, yeah.
So the fact is that's where it comes from. And like you said, even in everyday life, and maybe that's something I need to focus on teaching my kids a little more as well, is if you do what is right, not what the government tells you, but what you know is right, then you're going to succeed. You're more likely to succeed because people's going to support you doing the right thing. If you do it solely because the government's telling you to do it, in all truth, you're going to be sitting there thinking, man, I had to hire this guy, or I had to hire this girl, or I had to hire this person because they had they in their pronouns and blah, 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 that it's going to end up becoming just a huge mess.
Right.
And it's one of those things that we need to focus on what's right and not what the government's telling us is right.
Right.
Because if you agree with what I think is right, or if you're like, you could be the racist asshole that's sitting there saying, well, I only want to hire white people. Go for it.
Right.
Deal with that.
Right.
Now, here's where the other problem comes in, is if you're in an area that is 90% white and there's only maybe three black people running around hiring, trying to hire a black person, then you get fined by the government. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
So
what do you do? Right. So either way, it's, you know, and I truly believe that majority of people have been internally ingrained with what's right and wrong.
I think
whether the Bible says it, whether the government says it, whether your teacher says it, your parents, your boss, internally, I think the majority of people are ingrained with, they got a built-in no-go meter.
Right.
A go, no-go meter. You know what I mean? This is bad, this is good. This is it. You know what I mean?
Most people do, yeah.
Yeah. And you do get a lot of guidance from adults and parents, you know, stuff like that. Things like religion, Christianity, the Bible, stuff like that. You know, a lot of it over the years, you know, but the majority of people, you know, you're born with an inherent value of good versus bad.
Right.
And I tell my daughter all the time, no matter what, you know what I mean? You need to take into account that feeling.
Right.
You know what I mean? All the time. So
I agree. So let's do this. I think we've kind of beat this horse to its hooves.
Yeah.
So how about we end?
By the way, quick recap of what we did for the year.
Yeah. What me personally, quick recap is one of the big things I learned besides the cult thing is, and it stuck with me because again, I'm big into homeschooling, is the guy we talked to about this college and how he said, really everything you're doing in education wise is building up to the ninth grade. From the ninth grade level after that is where the colleges are looking at. Looking at faith, we've started digging more into faith and talking more about faith than before because it's becoming more relevant. It's not that it's more relevant. It's more in the spotlight. And
yeah,
I think part of it is for me, I've become more involved in my religious beliefs. I've had them all this, but for me, I've been getting more into. So, and that's what it should be, is you should be building into having a strong religious base to be able to guide your family.
Yeah.
Those are the big things for me.
I would say for me, a lot of the same. I've really like kind of stepped more into the faith as much as I like, as much as I fought it and didn't want to and wanted to do this and wanted to do that. And kind of over the last year, I'll say I've developed more knowledge, you know, on faith, conservatism. And I don't mean conservative like Republican. I mean conservative values.
Right.
You know, and I've stepped more into those. And I think I've really broken down those values into following them a little bit more strictly. And then, you know, also with the things that we've done with the nonprofit and stuff like that, it's not really like top-notch level yet, you know. Right. But maybe one day. Yeah. You know, I'm working it. I'm still like hammering it down in my normal job, so I really don't got like day-to-day time to be creating content all the time. It's really, really difficult.
Right, but the American Liberty Foundation.org is a good place to, or Liberty Dash, or American Dash Liberty. Yeah,
it's American Dash Liberty Dash Foundation.org.
Make sure you get the plug in there.
Right, yeah, I got to get the plug in. But, I mean, it's in development still. It's going to be a long-time development. It took me 4 years just to get to the point of starting it.
Right, to get the nonprofit. You know what I
mean? Right, so to get the actual 501c3, develop a name, you know, all of the information, courses, stuff like that, things, information, content of what I would really wanted to focus on and do. And then from there, it's just, I mean, now it's developing all of that information. It's going to take me time. You know, it's going to be time.
Right. And growing it and so on.
Right. And that's essentially what's going on. You know, so if obviously the website's still offline because I'm still building it.
It crashed. That issue.
Yeah, it crashed. But I'm still building it little by little. I haven't had any time because there has been a lot going on in my normal job. But.
Right.
You know, slowly but surely. And that's been kind of something, learning how difficult it is to do this is something that I've definitely learned over the last year.
Right.
Maintain this life and that life at the same time.
It is what it is, but
once
it gets to where it needs to be, it's going to be doing a lot of good things and changing a lot of lives for the hopefully.
Yeah, so, that's the goal.
Yeah. So with that, let's do this. Let's say goodbye to everybody. Where do people find you if they want to reach out to you besides callwithdads.com where we have a place for people to reach out to us? What's your best route?
Yeah. I mean, the Pancakes with Your Dad website, you can message or email directly through there. Any of the social medias for Pancakes with Your Dad, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and True Social. Same thing with the American Liberty Foundation. All has all of those same social medias. You can go there. Can't go to the website yet, but we're getting there. Almost up and running, but you can just go to one of those social medias and message me there. I can, if you want to donate, that would be great. There are donation links on the social medias. Those will help us be able to develop the website more, you know. So definitely
sounds perfect. And then of course Call with Dads. Just search callwithdads.com. You can find us on YouTube, Rumble, on Kick. We live stream on Kick. You can find us about any social media I can handle at the time. So my bandwidth, I have a lot going on as well with helping my kid start his business, me doing my job, life in general. It's what it is. So
Yeah.
If you need anything, reach out to us, either Pancakes with Your Dad. You can always look at Tom's not here. He's busy with his newborn baby. So you can remember him at Earn Her Respect on X.
On X.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So with that, thanks everyone for being here. Yeah. Have a good day. And this is the end.
Cuckoo.